Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this service of worship here at Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Dee Dee Roberts. I'm one of the pastors on staff. My colleague Nick Schimmer is leading worship in our Wilson Activity Center, the service we call the launch. We're glad to have you here. If you're a guest with us today, please take those pads that are located along the inside aisle of the pew and register your attendance. If you're a member, please do that too, because believe it or not, we take attendance. We pay attention to it. We're so, so happy to have you, and we want to be able to follow up with you with information about the mission and ministry of Asbury. Couple of announcements. One is that our card ministry is selling Christmas cards today. If you may have already caught them, but if you didn't, they are set up in the back of the Wilson Activity Center, and they would love to sell you some Christmas cards, handmade, that you can use for your Christmas correspondence. All of the proceeds for that go into that back into that ministry that offers pastoral care to members of the church. Also, you'll notice that on Tuesday, Terrific Tuesday meets this month, and a little early, 11:30, because of the program, which is the Central High School Jazz Band. Any age is welcome, and it's a great lunch, great fellowship, and of course it will be great music, so you might want to make note of that. And finally, I just invite you to take a look at the Advent calendar that is there on the back of the bulletin. That pretty well lists all of our special services and activities that are being planned, and we hope that you will be part of those. Also, just as a quick reminder, if you were not here last Sunday, to turn in your pledge card, we will gladly receive those at any time. So you can drop that in the offering plate this morning. And with that, let us continue to worship God. Oh, wait. Stand and greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Our worship this morning. Thank you.
Please stand as we join together in the call to worship. Follow along in your printed bulletin, the bold part, and respond as we reach those parts. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be raised above the hill. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that he may walk in God's path."
With what shall we come to God's house?
Bring branches of cedar and holly, bring evergreens and pine tree, hang wreaths and garland. Make the church fragrant with smell of living things and our holy play. We listen to the words of the prophet, seers, make hearts and the space ready for the one who comes, that is our prayer. Let us pray. God, by your mercy, guide our outward actions in such a way that our inward being formed in peace, hope, love, and joy. May these declarations engage our senses and enliven our praise, worship during Advent, so we will come to the child of Bethlehem, our Savior, who has come and will come again. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," number 196. May be seated. The hanging of the wreaths on the church doors. People of God, we stand at the doorway of the Christian year. On the first Sunday of Advent, let us mark the entrance to the church and our hearts and our minds as portals for Christ to enter. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
How shall we make this place a reminder of our need to repent and turn to our God of steadfast love?
We will hang garlands as Isaiah speaks the word of God.
The Lord says, "Then I will heal you of your faithfulness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are always true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall.
The hanging of the chrisms. Here is the place we prepare for the advent of our Lord, his birth in Bethlehem, weak and helpless as a baby. And here we rekindle our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, as we wait his coming again as the bright and morning star. Hanging symbols and signs of Jesus, our ruler, prophet, and priest. Hang stars, crosses, triangles, the Alpha and the Omega, to remind us our Lord.
See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift.
Invite the family to come forward. Friends, today we have the joy of offering the sacrament of baptism. And so I invite you to turn to page 33 in your hymnal where you can follow along with our ritual. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. What name is given to this child?
Nash Gray.
Nash Gray. And to you, I ask, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him, yes, you do, as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and to profess his faith openly and to lead a Christian life? And friends, I turn to all of you on the top of page 35, because we all are accepting some responsibility today in making sure that our little brother Nash here is raised in the faith. So do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Nash, who is now before you, in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this person with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you have promised to be present this day in the power of water. So we pray that your Holy Spirit might be here in this simple element wherein we wash away sin, we find relief from thirst, and we are nurtured to grow. May this water, by the power of your Holy Spirit, offer all of those gifts to Nash. And may we, as we see him baptized and join with one another in joy, find and remember that water for ourselves, the water of our baptism that marks us as claimed and saved by the power of Jesus Christ at work in us. This we pray in the name and power of Jesus, giving you thanks and praise always. Amen. All right, sir. You ready? You ready? Nash, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be there. We're going to put hands on his head. Nash, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, says that is enough. All right, buddy. Look at all these people. Do you see them? Do you see all these people? They are your friends. They are. And they're going to work with your mommy and your daddy, your grandparents, and others in your family, so that as you grow and you become a walker and then a runner, we're all going to work together to teach you about God. These are the people that are going to be your Sunday school teachers, your youth leaders. They're going to make sure that you know about the love of Jesus in your life, so that there won't ever be a time, not one, that you would doubt that God loves you. We're so proud of you, and we're so happy that you're here among us. You ready to go back to mommy? I'll keep you, but you might want to go back to mommy. So, friends, may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, dwell in your hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, so you might know the height and breadth and the width of depth of God's love towards you, and you will live as a faithful witness to Jesus. Let's all respond. Welcome, Nash, to our...
We light this candle to signify our hope for the Prince of Peace, whose birth we await in this Advent season, who brings peace not as the world gives, but true peace that passes all understanding. Let us pray together. It's printed for you in your bulletin. Lord God, we look to you to bring us true peace in a world where peace seems far away. We hear your call to us to be peacemakers among ourselves and the world around us. But we know we cannot find peace apart from your grace. Prince of Peace, we wait for you. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Let us pray. O Lord, receive these gifts of our tithes and offerings. May they be for you a sign of our love and our commitment, not only to be your followers, but to do your will in the world. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks. You may be seated. Hear now these words from the prophet Isaiah. We heard a bit of this as we opened our worship this morning as part of our Hanging of the Green service, but I want to go just a little past that. So beginning with chapter 2 of Isaiah, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When half spent was the night.
You know, sometimes it takes a village to have wonderful worship. And I am grateful for the village that is Asbury United Methodist Church, aren't you? Praise God. Praise God. If you can clap, that's worth clapping. That is. Well, this morning we're invited to listen to Isaiah, as Isaiah invites the whole people of God to come. Come, let us go, Isaiah says. And as I reflected on that, I realized that that's always God's call to faithfulness, to come and to go. Consider this. God called Abraham and he said, go. Moses' plea to Pharaoh was to let my people go. And when Jesus was asked who he was, his invitation was, come and see. The life of faith is always about movement and journey. And today we mark the beginning of a new Christian year. Another trip around the sun, one of my friends might say. An opportunity to live another 365 days in the grace of God. So happy New Year, friends. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the very first day of the Christian year. And if we mark our time by this calendar, we will be ordering our lives and measuring our days by the events of Jesus' life and ministry. And it all begins with Isaiah. Come, let us go. Come and see. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, I'll tell you, I love the season of Advent. I like preparing and anticipating. It's busy, it can be chaotic and complicated. Yet the season of Advent is just, well, pardon me, but pregnant with expectation and deep joy. Advent reminds us that we are living a story for which we already know the ending. And on those days when it's hard, it's okay to sort of flip through to the final pages of your Bible and read ahead, so to speak, and be reminded that all will be well. All manner of things will be well. God has already finished the story. We're just catching up. For you see, God wants nothing more from us than that we would enter into this great narrative of peace and hope and joy, and that we would let those values guide us each and every day of our lives. Now today, in the lighting of the Advent candle, we have been reminded that we are living into the joy, the joy of the peace of Christ. And peace is more than the absence of conflict. Peace is always about justice as well. For us as Christians, we have to remember that everyone can learn of God. That it is our job to see that all are taught the story. And that it is ours to rejoice when people respond. If we live by this idea of peace, that is the welcoming of all nations, there is no need for violence or war. No, we need pruning hooks and plows so that the seed can be planted and cultivated as we live together and labor together in what Isaiah would call the vineyard of our God. I think that is a beautiful image for the future. A place where all of God's children and all of creation live together in peace, where we mutually benefit from one another and love each other. Not only our brothers and sisters, but the earth as well. We would call one another friends, but we would also honor the earth and tend it with love, so that the abundance of God could be shared, so that no one has too little. All have enough. And here's the best news of all. Those of us who have too much will no longer be burdened. This is the peace of God. And on this first day of Advent, this first day of the new year, we recommit our lives to walk with God, to hear the invitation of peace, and to commit ourselves to living the promise. Friends, God wants to bring peace. So much so that God sent peace to the earth in the form of Jesus. He was born among the creatures, whose first cry was heard by the poor, and whose birth would cause the slaughter of innocents. This man would know the life of a refugee. He would learn a trade. He would itinerate from place to place. Some would love him, some would despise him, and all would be changed by him. If there's one challenge I offer you this morning, it is this. As Christians, let's not romanticize the story of Jesus. Let's not stamp it like a Hallmark movie. But instead, let us recognize the nitty-gritty real life of God in Christ and the cost of peace. God isn't asking anything from us that God has not already done. But peace means that some of us will have to sacrifice for the sake of others. And it also means that every sacrifice we make will bring us closer to God. So how do we do that? Well, I'd encourage you to continue your gratitude journal. If you didn't start it in November, which I know everybody did, you could start now. It's the first day of December. And allow your journey to be shaped by what God has already supplied in your life. Notice how God is providing for you in relationships, in things, in feelings. And allow yourself, through gratitude, to experience the peace of God that will shape you into a vessel of grace. For you see, during Advent, we are all called to bear Christ into the world. The Christ who came, the the one who is, and the one we pray will come again. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we prepare to receive Holy Communion this day, I remind you that this table is the table of our Lord. It is welcome to all. It is open to all. Christ is our host, and we stand in with each other as both guests and recipients of the grace of these offerings. This morning we'll be using a brief great thanksgiving that does not require responses. So I just invite you to join with me now in our prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us. And through Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead the same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you. Then he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from it, do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the drinking of this wine. May we know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed as the body of Christ for the world, and be redeemed by Christ's blood until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your heavenly table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Everyone who desires peace, the peace of Christ in your life, is welcome at this table. We'll serve those who are assisting with communion first, along with the choir, and then please come forward at the direction of the ushers. Let us pray. Loving God, you do bring us peace. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, you lead us into life-giving relationships. You fill our ears and our senses with music and song that lifts our spirits high. And you provide us with beauty all around us that reminds us of your goodness and the goodness of creation. So as we have shared this meal together today and been filled by the power of your presence with us, may we indeed be blessed by peace. May anyone in this congregation who wants to commit their lives to you or recommit them to you be filled with the courage and the joy of coming forth and praying at the altar. Anyone who wants to become part of the family of Asbury, let them come forward as well. Because somewhere in the mix of your peace and your coming, we are compelled to go to the altar, to go to the family of God, to go forth from this place to love and to serve you always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing together our closing hymn. Rejoice, the Lord is here. May that knowledge give you peace for the coming week, so that whatever you face, you know that the Lord is with you. And may it also give you the feet to go where God sends you, knowing that God is with you there too, and you're to be the vessel of peace. Go, and let us all rejoice. Amen.
Amen.